I was tired of the status quo. I decided to get off the fence and stop complaining and do something about it. I had a lot of concerns in my own industry about how the Congress, not just my opponent, but the entire Congress was approaching technology, which is the underpinning of all our lives these days. Most of the people back there, the most they know about a computer is how to turn it on. And I think we need more people back there that are knowledgeable about the situation, knowledgeable about how the internet works, how technology works, what our future holds. And so I was concerned on that level. But you know, I've got three kids as well, Tom. I'm really concerned about the America they're growing up in. And right. It seems to me it's vastly different from the America I grew up in. I grew up in the shadow of the Cold War, and that wasn't any fun for a child, but I had a lot of opportunity. I was inspired by the space race to get into science and technology, and that's what got me rolling on starting my company, X-Mission, the first internet service provider in Utah. And I would like to see similar inspiration for children other than, you know, hip-hop stars and sports stars and celebrities. I'd like to see, you know, Neil Armstrong again.
Wouldn't that be refreshing? Yeah, I'm dating myself. I remember when, you know, a TV set was a rarity in a neighborhood. That goes to show how far back I go. But coincidentally, we're talking with Pete Ashdown, who is challenging Orrin Hatch for a Senate seat. And talk about timing. Here's somebody who knows about the Internet, obviously, with X-Mission and the future and what it holds. And the most frightening thing I've heard over the weekend is Senator Ted Stevens.
The series of tubes.
I sat there in utter amazement listening to this guy supposedly describe the internet as a series of tubes.
Yeah, and he's the chair of the committee making the decisions about the internet.
On the Senate Commerce Committee, he's the chairman.
Yeah.
This is the guy, of course, that had everybody going for the $500 million bridge to nowhere in Alaska.
Right. Right, and you know what a coup for Utah would be if we could get somebody back there that knew more than everybody else back there about this industry that is so critical to Utah.
This I had to laugh. Now, give me your take on this. He says the internet is not something you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And then he complained that he says it took 4 days for him to get an email. Is that possible?
Well, you know, the server breakdown, whatever, it certainly is possible, but it's not because of what Ted Stevens is saying. It's not because the internet is clogged up or there are little gnomes somewhere cramming your email down a physical pipe. There is reason for email to be delayed. Most likely it's his own email server that's being run poorly in his Washington office. And not a problem with the internet as a whole, but it's a bigger issue to look at Ted Stevens ranting about this like an old man swears at a flower pot. You know, this is a critical part of our economy. It's becoming more and more critical.
It's huge. Everything is connected now with computers.
Yeah, and we have other nations that recognize how essential this infrastructure is to their economy, and they're doing things like nationwide fiber optics, and they're taking a much greater lead on expanding the internet than our own Congress is, and we need to turn that around if we're going to keep up.
We are losing the race for technology, and it's really kind of sad, and science, and I don't know when this started to slide. But we'd better wake up and compete, because look where China and India and countries like that are going.
Yes, we used to have this attitude in America that we would innovate and the rest of the world would make it.
Mm-hmm.
Our innovation is starting to slip. I just read the other day about how there's China has come up with a new form of windmill that's 20% more efficient than anything else. Now, people have told me for a long time that the Chinese can't innovate. Well, that's starting to shift, because they have been concentrating on getting scientists and engineers out of their universities and into the field. And people are coming to the United States to study, and instead of staying here and helping build the United States, they're going back home, because there's a lot of attitude towards immigrants right now that scares them, frankly, and they don't want to stay here. I think, you know, we do have an illegal immigration problem. We need to approach that sensibly. But we also need to fix the legal immigration problem, because it's very hard and difficult for people that want to come here and abide the law and study and work and build America to do that.
Just quickly, we're talking with Pete Ashton, who is challenging Orrin Hatch for his seat in Senate. I got to throw a couple of issues out there and just like to get your Cliff Notes take on things.
Sure.
The Iraq War, where we stand today on it.
That's a great one, Tom, because at the beginning of this campaign, the thing that was most acute to me, talking to my friends in the military, is that we need to support our troops logistically as well as morally. You know, put the magnet on your car, but we need to send troop armor out there. We need to make sure that they are protected to do the job they're doing. And we talk about, you know, another $4 billion aircraft carrier, another $2 billion B-2 bomber. These things are essential to some extent, but they don't solve the problem of the $100 roadside bomb. We need to take the high-end approach and put it towards the low end because we're fighting people on the low end right now.
Do you see a way that we can extricate ourselves from this situation, the way it's kind of deteriorated into a pseudo-civil war?
That's a good one, too, Tom, because I put that question on my website about 8 months ago because I was baffled. I heard one side saying we need to stay the course, and I was hearing the other side saying we need to get out as soon as possible. And I felt that I wasn't getting the facts here in Salt Lake City, Utah. I didn't know what the truth was. I would hear one picture from my friends in the military, and then I'd see another picture on TV.
Right.
So I posed that question, what do we do in Iraq? And somebody came up with an elegant solution, and I've been promoting it ever since. That is, the people who are affected by the Iraq war every day are the Iraqi people themselves.
Yeah, it's their country.
It's their country, and they, in a lot of ways, they have a more successful democracy over there than we do in the United States. More people turn out to the polls. They usually get above 70%. We're going to be lucky if we get 50% this fall. And we should have a referendum over there and ask them what they want us to do. If they need the security, if they need us to stay around and help them build the infrastructure, they should make that decision. And I think that would do a lot to quell the international controversy towards the situation. But conversely, if they want us to leave, we should respect that and leave.
Do you think it's we should nudge them towards that end? Because as long as we hold their hand and keep pouring money into their country, I think they're, you know, while they hate us as occupiers, they like what we are able to do for them. You think we should give them a hard or some kind of a goal?
Yeah. Saying,
look, we can only hold your hand for so long.
We need to start kicking them out of the nest, in essence.
Right.
I mean, we are not making any steps towards that goal. And this debate that goes back and forth, I dislike because, it's been going back and forth for the past year, and nothing's getting done. What I'm advocating with this referendum is a step in the right direction, I believe, in cutting through the debate, getting to the core of the matter, finding out what is needed there, and then moving from that point on.
What about health care and prescription drug prices? And, of course, with the baby boom generation aging, more and more health care is going to be needed. Can the country afford it? And why do we have to subsidize the rest of the world as far as the R&D for new medicines?
I think on the first point, what we do about health care is we need to take a realistic approach to this. It's become an economic issue in this country. For the past decade, I have absorbed all of my employees' health care costs. I've put probably over $1 million towards my employees' health care, and I've received nowhere near that kind of return as far as benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Premiums go up, the benefits go down, and that's what we have to live with. And in my opinion, when the free market fails, and I'm a big advocate for the free market, but when the free market fails, there's a role for government to step in. Now, I advocate a nonprofit, non-government entity that is heavily regulated and transparent to provide health care insurance. I think that is cutting the profit motive, the shareholder motive, and the executive motive out of health care insurance is a key part towards resolving this health care problem. I am more than willing to pay what I'm paying today to insure my employees as long as they are covered. And I don't get excuses back about pre-existing condition or cosmetic surgery or whatever.
Yeah.
I want them to be covered and them to be taken care of if I'm going to pay for that. And I think once that is done, And once that administrative overhead is dropped from 40% in some cases down to 10 and 5% ideally, there's going to be a lot left over to take care of the other people who are not insured. The biggest problem we have in America, of course, are the uninsured, and that a lot of businesses aren't taking the responsibility that my business takes. I'm more than willing to contribute to small businesses getting started, individuals jumping in to start their own businesses, and help them get health care for themselves and their employees. But I'm not willing to contribute my tax dollars to a large profitable corporation which is shrugging the responsibility of their health care for their employees.
Last question, big debate coming up, and of course the president has threatened to veto the first bill in his entire presidency involving stem cell research. Your position on stem cell research?
This is the one position I agree wholeheartedly with my opponent on. Senator Hatch has had some leadership as regards to stem cell research, and I think he's absolutely right. I think there should be reasonable expectations upon, you know, how far a fertilized egg can mature before you can use it in stem cell research. But I think most scientists doing this research are ethical and have been able to keep that under 7 days. So I'm all in favor of expanding our stem cell research. The benefit far outweighs the potential for abuse. And we, you know, we have people like the great Ronald Reagan who could have benefited from things like this and die every day. We need to take a realistic approach.
The sad thing is that we have 400,000 embryos that are going to be tossed in the garbage. And this amazes me that this is okay in the eyes of the president, but these cannot be used for research to that could help 110 million Americans and who knows how many around the world. This doesn't make any sense to me at all.
And more importantly, Tom, if we take a regressive approach on this research, the rest of the world is going to pass us by. I mean, South Korea is already getting way ahead of us in this kind of research, and they're attracting our brain trust because people are able to go there and do the work that they were educated to do without the government hindering them. And I think we need to look at that and a lot of other scientific fields and realize that, you know, our legislative approach to hold these scientific fields down is holding America back.
Pete, we're out of time. I want to thank you for taking time to visit with us. It's a tall mountain to climb. We have a 98% return rate of incumbency in this country, and I think it is one of the big problems that we have is getting fresh ideas and fresh blood. You almost have to be caught robbing a bank before they can get you out of office. It really is becoming ridiculous. People like Ted Stevens, who's in his 80s. I mean, he had Strom Thurmond. He'd been in for 10 years before they finally hauled him out of the Senate. So I wish you the best of luck in bringing the challenge out there and giving people at least an opportunity to ask questions and look at things in a different perspective.
Thank you, and I encourage your listeners to check out my website at pete-down.org. I'm wide open for input and suggestions, and I don't hide my email address, so please get in contact with me. I need your help.
Pete, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, Tom.